welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. This morning is Safeguarding Sunday, and our talk is around creating the right culture. The talk is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, and the readings are taken from Isaiah 44, verses 8 to 14, and Mark 12, verses 28 to 34. You can watch the whole service on our Facebook page, as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website.
The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 41, verses 8 to 14. But you, O Israel, my servant Jacob, who I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from the farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant, I have chosen you, and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not be afraid, O worm Jacob, O little Israel. For I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament reading is taken from Mark chapter 12, verses 38 to 44, and it comes under two headings: warning against the teachers of the law. As he taught, Jesus said, watch out for teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished severely. And the second subtitle, the widow's offering. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few pence. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put everything, all that she had to live on. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Ian. Sometimes a little bit of hiccups about readings, so I'm going to read another passage, but I think actually what you just read, Ian, speak loudly about safeguarding. Watch out. Watch out for the teacher of the law. Jesus had very strong words on the leaders at his time. If you go through a scripture, he would have the strongest word he had was for them, because being in places of authority, they were the people who were meant to care, were meant to help the least, the last, and the lost to flourish. And they were doing the opposite. And so it's a strong word. It's a strong word for all of us, like me, who are in leadership position. And how is that place used to allow God's purpose to be expressed? And the other bit of that passage is about that Jesus actually and God really sees the least, the last, and the lost. He sees that poor widow who, although to the eyes of the world give nothing, two small copper coins, it could be a few pennies. And if you were in this church, and we don't do the offering here, you might have seen that we don't pass any offering, because we just believe that if you're a member of the church, we encourage you to give freely, and lots of people do standing orders, and there is always a plate at the back. But imagine we had an offering going around, and you know, the vicar comes with his £100, because maybe I earn £10,000 a month. No, I don't. But that's what would it be, you know, £100. People would say, ooh, it gives a lot, you know. But in comparison, maybe with what I earn every month would be peanuts. But this lady just gave a few pennies and said, oh, that's not much compared to the vicar. But God sees. God sees that she gave much more than anyone else. And I think it's true about discipleship. Sometimes we see people who grow quite, you know, strongly as Christian spiritual, and we think, wow, you know, they're committed to their lives, and we miss the fact that some people are coming to Christ so broken that it takes time for them to grow. And sometimes we can come with judgments. Are we going to create a space where we can all grow at our own space, at own rhythm? We just sang, it's about a journey. God sees where we are. God knows the struggles we've been through. God is kinder. God is always kinder than your vicar. That's, I think, is important to know. God is always kinder than any church leaders. But hopefully, by God's grace, some of his kindness is expressed through my ministry, hopefully. So what is the other reading? Well, the other reading is about what is at the heart of our Christian faith. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing Jesus had given a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which one is the most important? What is the most important thing in our Christian life? Well, Jesus says the most important one is the Lord, our God. The Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Nice. Ah, but the second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Now the teacher says, well, you've replied well. You're right to say to love God, that is to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength, with all our souls. Is the first, and to love our neighbor as ourselves is more important than any religious rites, and religious action, traditions. And Jesus says, you're not far from understanding God's ruling, the kingdom of God, God's, where God is active and ruling. You're not right. Part of what I'm going to say, I asked Dave to send me some of his notes that he was going to preach this morning. And one is a story from a book that is written part of what Home for Good is doing. It's a charity that works with foster carer and promotes the kind of the fostering care. And it's because some people here in our church have been long-term foster carers. And so it's something we also want to encourage. But this is the story of a couple who are foster carers and receive a young teenager really in big trouble. And that young teenager arrived to the house with a question. She's there with all her issues, and she says to this couple, "What do you care? What do you care?" And within, I haven't read the whole story, but within an hour or two, she actually escaped from the house, and they phoned the police. They tried to find where she is. But that question, "What do you care?" is bothering that couple. And that question was still nagging, they said, at us at church on Sunday morning. It happened that we worshipped at the school she attended. To our surprise, scribbled up on the staff room wall was her full name, followed by details of an incident that she'd been involved in during the week. And big words were on that, saying, "Warning, detention, suspended, and eventually expelled." Imagine trying to worship God with a teenager's sullen and hopeless accusation, "What do you care?" ringing around your head. This had a massive impact on us. First of all, we began to recognize that this kid's challenge was not a distraction from our worship, but what rather a God-given drive to worship. The more we read the Bible, the more we heard God's clear message. If you care about worship, if you want to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, you should worship by caring. Love your neighbor as yourself. The Bible is full of calls to God's people to worship him through caring for the excluded, the poor, and the vulnerable, and especially for children in this circumstance, caught up in those circumstances. There are at least 40 times where the Bible refers specifically to God's concern for the orphans and the fatherless. That's more than the number of times Scripture talks about tithing or taking communion. It's time to rethink our priority. So what does it mean to love God with all our hearts, all our minds, all our strength, all ourselves, by loving our neighbors as ourselves? Do you care? Do I care? If you care about worship, you should worship by caring. And that's why we do this Safeguarding Sunday, to create a culture where we do care. A culture where we can say, "I got it wrong, please forgive me. I didn't care enough here. I need to grow, I need to change." Loving God with all our hearts, with all our strength, with all our mind, with all our souls, and loving others. That's the most important commandment. And if you look, Jesus says it's one commandment. It's not love God, one, and love your neighbor as yourself, two. No, it's one. You can't love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and not love your neighbor as yourself. And you know very well the story of the Good Samaritan, because that was the quarrel. Who's my neighbor? And for the Jews, at the first, their neighbor was, well, their fellow Jews, the people around them. You know, they would care for them, but those outside, not so sure. Then they would stretch that to, yes, the Jews and those who are interested in their faith, those are their neighbors, you know. The proselytes, kind of, who wants to know more. But still, the foreigners, I'm not sure. Jesus completely turned around the reality by saying, your neighbor is anyone you meet, anyone you work with, anyone you live with, anyone you eat with, anyone you walk with. Anyone. It's the people crossing the channel by boats. Their story. It really angers me most of the time when I listen to news, because the word they're using is illegal immigrants. We need as a church to challenge that. If you flee your country, you have no time to go to an embassy to ask for a document, to say, please, I'm in danger, can I get a passport so I can claim asylum to a place? You have to leave without your paper. So by definition, wherever you go, you will be illegal. That's what it means to claim asylum. So we need to challenge that, because those are the least and the last. And they put their lives on the line to try to get to a safe place. What does it mean to love my neighbor? This morning someone came and says, you know, a homeless person came and said, I have some money, but I need some help to book a hotel. How do we interact wisely with those in difficult situations? The person did the right thing, told me, and I said, well, I think I know the person. And sometimes there are stories, and we need to be wise how to help. But how do we create a space where homeless can be feel safe too? Love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. But who is my neighbor? I like what Dave said. He said, what God said versus what sometimes we hear. Sometimes we hear, love your neighbor, which equals, don't love the person who is not your neighbor. That was the issue with the Jews. And we all have people we think they're not our neighbor, so I don't have to love them. And if they're not our neighbor and I don't have to love them, but maybe, you know, more and more I see them as enemy. And what do we do with people that are enemy? We hate them. So we must be careful. If Jesus says anyone is your neighbor, wherever their circumstances, you need to love them. And that's what safeguarding is all about within our church, but I think it's also bigger than that. It's our call as Christian. It's a commitment to care for others as a reflection of our commitment to follow and be a person that loves God. It's a commitment of allegiance to God by showing care for others. So it's much more than do not harm, do no harm. That's what we learn. That's what, if you're in a medical, do no harm. No, it's not just do no harm. It's also do good. It's the friendly call, the kind visit, the getting the shopping, the making sure the vulnerable gets home safely. For church, maybe offering bereavement support if we can, doing hospital visit, creating space for toddler and children to play, learn, and see love in action. Providing space for marriages to be enriched, single people to feel connected and fully embraced in the life of the church, and much more. It's crucial because sadly, in our world, and you might have experienced that, not everybody is loved. So where will they go? Where will they find a place where they can connect, belong, and be loved? Even if the way they live their life is not fully what maybe Scripture or what we understand from Scripture is. How do we connect with? A place where each individual is respected and valued and nurtured. A place where each individual is allowed to ask questions and even to disagree in a respectful manner. Where leaders are nurturing, that's me, but also, as we sang in the song, where I allow you to nurture me. Allow you to also challenge me, to comfort me, to guide me. Where safeguarding practices are embedded in everything we do. As I read that, I know there is more work to do. There is more work for me to do in my life, in how I express care to you as a church, to this community, and I'm sure you feel, oh, there is more work in my life to do too. And that's fine. And that's good. John Wesley had a wonderful way of summing up these words of Jesus when he said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Maybe this week, every day, we could do the following. Call to mind the commandments to love God with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our strength, with all our soul, and to love our neighbor. That means everyone we meet, everyone we work with, everyone we share life with, everyone we will be eating with, everyone we might be bumping into or think about, all those people, to love them as ourselves. Let's pray. Jesus, you had hard word to the religious leaders of the time. And I'm sure they are hard words to us, vicars, or leaders when we get it wrong and when we don't show care. And yet you are the one who says those words because you want to heal and transform and grow us into more of your likeness. So speak to us this week as we each day start the day by asking, Lord, help us as we seek to love you with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our strength and with all our souls, to know what it means in practice with everyone we meet. Fill us with your spirit, that it would be through your presence that we see and care and love others. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.